Activision has a data breach. Microsoft and Nintendo agree to a 10-year deal. The PS Vita and the Nintendo Fun Club in gaming history. What we've played and our games of the week. This is Very Average Gaming. Everybody, welcome to episode 24 of Very Average Gaming. I'm Will Williams, and with me every week to talk video games is Joe Cotter.
How is everybody today?
Everybody's doing all right. I mean, everyone's asleep. We're happy. It's well, been a rough good. Week with that to this week.
So. Yes, you've had a very eventful week, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry, everybody, we got a lot to get into this week. Poop yes. kind of hit the fan a little bit.
Yes, we do. So how about we start it off with, like we do every weekend, we'll talk about The Last of Us and Episode 6. So what were your thoughts on Episode 6?
I thought it was good. It was a little bit slower than the last few episodes, but I mean, character building had to happen eventually. I did like the little part in the beginning where they had the dog smell them to see if they had the virus or not. That was kind of an interesting little tidbit there.
That was cool. I liked the line when the wife was like, I cooked him. He's like, you cooked her soup, cooked them soup. And she was like, well, yeah, you didn't kill me.
that was pretty funny. They were an interesting couple. And then he's like, you don't try to scare him. She goes, you don't scare us. And she goes, it scared him.
But yeah, no, it was a good episode. It was, you know, a much needed story driven episode to start advancing the story and starting to piece things together from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely. Finally got to see his brother again.
Yeah. You know,
so that was pretty cool. And you got to see the new community that they got to and everything. It was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And, you know, the show keeps it going. Like, I'm very happy that so far it hasn't like fallen off. It's keeping me intrigued. It's keeping me interested. And I'm looking forward to following this through to the end.
What's cool about the show so far is I like how it follows the events of the game. But there's little idiosyncrasies that are different from the show versus the game. I like how they change small details and stuff like that, and it makes it fresh to watch.
Yes, it, you're right. It's like it's holding true to the game, but making it its own in a sense, which is good. And that's how it should be. You can't, if you try to do it directly to the game, you get nitpicked beyond belief.
Oh, absolutely. And all the naysayers would be out there. I mean, they're already out there complaining about dumb crap, but I mean, it is what it is. I think it's, as of now, I think it's a fantastic series, and I hope, you know, it just keeps getting better as we go.
Yeah, no, definitely. So we got some good news articles this week, right? We got a couple of things in the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of big things happened this week.
So we'll start with news at Activision, right? And this time it has nothing to do with this stupid merger.
Thank God.
There was a huge data breach at Activision. Lots of information was said to be among the breach. Employee personal information. Call of Duty future seasons. Possible future games, according to Insider Gaming. And it is said that the hack occurred on December 4th. And the credit to this report is Tom Henderson. I think you just hear about this more and more. I mean, these hackers get into all this stuff now. I mean, we received a letter in the mail recently saying that, I forget what was, like some kind of hospital database was hacked at a hospital we stayed at, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so we got, a free year of credit monitoring.
Yeah. So basically, from the gist of what I read, whoever hacked the system went into their human resources computer, a human resources employee's computer was hacked.
It's probably the human resources department, man.
So they were able to get some sensitive employee data, such as addresses and stuff like that. Nothing as far as personal data, like social security numbers, stuff like that. But they were able to scrape some upcoming games information, the seasons for Call of Duty that are coming out, stuff like that. But you know, that's still a huge deal.
Well, anytime anything's hacked, because it just shows you how easy I guess easy is the right word, that these people who know what they're doing, If they really want to, they could get any information they really want.
Well, and plus, nowadays where everything is on the web, I mean, it's so easy to find information for those people. They could just go in and do whatever.
Yes. No, you're definitely right. You know, and it's just a shame. You know, it's like you hear about one of these things at least like 3 to 4 times a year. Someone gets into some kind of database of information. And yeah, I guess it's nothing more than like what Google and Facebook and these places do with your personal information already. You know,
They're
just using it for like, you know, malintent instead of just selling it to make a profit.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, so, but speaking of Call of Duty and their future seasons, Microsoft and Nintendo have agreed to a 10-year deal. This is going to bring Call of Duty to the Nintendo platform. And under the contract, Nintendo users will be able to experience the same as Xbox and PlayStation users. To add on to this, Microsoft has also reached an agreement with NVIDIA to bring content to the GeForce Now, as well as on PC and Mac, smartphones, and more.
Oh, yeah, I have the official statement if you'd like me to read that.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Read the statement.
So the official statement from Nintendo and Microsoft. Microsoft and Nintendo have negotiated and signed a 10-year binding legal deal to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo players the same day as Xbox with full feature and content parity, so they can experience Call of Duty just as Xbox and PlayStation gamers enjoy Call of Duty. We are committed to providing long-term equal access to Call of Duty to other gaming platforms, bringing more choice to more players and more competition to the gaming market.
All right. You see, so what I get from this is Microsoft basically going to Nintendo and saying, look, if you scratch our back this time, down the road, we're going to scratch yours. Because let's be honest, I am a huge fan of the Nintendo Switch. But there is no way the Nintendo Switch can handle Call of Duty.
How many do you have in the house at the moment?
Right now, I'm sitting at just under 700 Switch games.
No. How many Switches?
Right? Yeah, 6. I have four Switch Lites and 2. I have an OLED and I have a normal Switch.
I don't have one yet.
The OLED is mine.
Better get on that.
But, you know, it's the Nintendo hardware right now can't handle Call of Duty. I mean, it can barely handle Apex Legends and Fortnite, let alone the graphics of a Call of Duty game. The only way I could see this actually working with the Nintendo console is if the online is strictly to Nintendo users.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obviously going to have to be docked. You're not going to do this handheld.
Yeah, that'd be too much strain on the system.
You know, so it's one of those things where I think, like, Microsoft is like, we need you to kind of go along with this so we can get this merger through because we have to prove that we're not monopolizing Call of Duty. And, like, down the road, maybe they'll offer Nintendo Game Pass or, like, maybe you could play the, you know. And I think, didn't they say that they're going to bring other Microsoft games to Nintendo? It's not just, like, Call of Duty. They're bringing some of the other, they're planning to at least, or they said they're going to plan to bring some of the other games over.
Yeah, I pretty much think that you're spot on with the whole having them help them down the road kind of deal. It makes the most sense. I mean, time will tell to see what exactly goes on. But, I mean, a 10-year, you know, that's kind of a huge deal as far as, like, gaming in general. I mean, that's a long time of taking care of us as the consumer. So,
yeah, no, it is. I hope that they bring the Game Pass to Nintendo. That, like, if you could just access the, even if it's just the cloud streaming game part of the Game Pass on your Nintendo Switch to make it handheld. Like, currently I could do it on my Steam Deck, so it wouldn't affect me, but it would allow a lot of these other people, and it would allow people who don't own an Xbox to sign up for Game Pass.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's what Microsoft is really trying to do. Their bread and butter isn't selling consoles. It's selling that Game Pass.
Yeah. They said last year that they lost money on it, but they're still pushing it.
Well, yeah, because they know, like, if you could turn it into like a Netflix subscription thing, when you get enough people signed up for that, it doesn't matter what you sell. You could go all digital consoles.
Oh, absolutely not. And I mean, as far as the whole drama with PlayStation, I mean, they had the press conference the other day, and apparently, I guess whatever deal they have for PlayStation for the exclusivity deal or whatever, it runs out in a year and a half. They said that they have a deal ready to sign, ready to go, and it's up to PlayStation at this point. So, you know, they're at the table and waiting. And, you know, it's just all about if Sony's willing to, you know, bend and finally join the party.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to see. Like, I think Sony is just they're holding out, hoping that it just doesn't go through. Like, I think they're in their head. They're like, you know what, if it doesn't go through, we hold all the cards, in a sense. And I think they're gonna fall flat on their face. Like, I think they're just being too stupid when it comes to this. There's no game out there like Call of Duty right now. There's no competition, which is kind of why Call of Duty has kind of fallen down on the wayside a little bit. It's not as good and strong as it used to be. But it's going to hurt PlayStation if they don't have it at all on there.
Well, and see, to add to that point, the reason for that is the last few Call of Duties have just not been very good. And I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of competition.
Oh, definitely. You know, if you have nothing to compete against, you know, you're not going to push boundaries. You're not going to try to, like, reinvent the game. You know, there's no incentive to push to do anything crazy or new or try things new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that, like, games like Battlefield can't compete, or even, like, Halo couldn't compete. You know, the only thing that's really taking away any Call of Duty player, but it's a totally different type of game, is Fortnite.
Yeah, but I also think a lot of the reason why Call of Duty has a lot of issues is the way they have it set up is they have Call of Duty and Warzone. But the way they're doing it is they're developing it as if it was one game. They're two separately different games. The problem is they're trying to pair them.
Yeah.
So, like, they do the spawns, like, they do that top-down squad spawn mechanic, which works great for Warzone. You know, you get this huge map, you spawn in next to your, you know, in a huge map. You're not spawning into enemy fire. Whereas in these small maps in the 6v6 maps, especially, like, if anybody has played Shipment, that's the tiniest map in the entire series. It's like 40 by 40 with some Connex boxes, you know, laid out around the outside. You literally, with the way they spawn you, you spawn and the enemy can sit there and see you spawning. And as soon as you spawn in, they shoot you dead.
Yeah, no, it's no fun.
Or they spawn behind you after you spawn, and then they shoot you in the back. Like, it's just, I get what they're trying to do with the parody, but I think a lot of the reason why the Call of Duties lately have been so bad is because they need to separate and make Warzone as a game and Call of Duty multiplayer and the campaign and Spec Ops kind of deals as its own game. They have to stop trying to develop them as one game. It's not working.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. I mean, you're big into Call of Duty, so, like, you kind of know the ins and outs of what's going on in that game. But, like, yeah. I think, like, PlayStation, like, they have two choices. One is you're going to sign this deal, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest, even let's say that the government comes in and says, you know what, because of Call of Duty, we're not going to let this merger go through.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft could just turn around and sell the IP off.
Yeah, which they won't do.
I know they won't. But if it requires them to get this merger to go through and they have to, they will.
Well, no, because they put out a statement saying we're not splitting everything up. It's either all of it or none of it.
So we'll
that's pretty much their stance.
See, and
they either get all of Activision, King, and Blizzard,
yeah,
or because they already said they're not selling off other IPs to make it work. It's all of it or none of it.
They should make a barter. They should tell PlayStation, look, we'll give you the Candy Crush knockoff, Soda Pop, or whatever it's called.
Soda Crush. I played Candy Crush today a little bit.
Yeah. You know, but we'll see. You know, it's. I'm glad that Nintendo and Microsoft are joining forces.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bring more mature type games to the Nintendo, even though the Switch has kind of brought a lot of mature games in. None mm-hmm. of them are, like, they're good, but they're not the caliber of, like, a Xbox AAA. So I'm hoping that this is a start of a good relationship down the road, and it's not just, look, you shake my hand, I shake yours, and we're going to just make it so that this can go through, you know. So we'll see. But 10 years is a long time. That's going to be the end of this console and then the next console generation as well.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is they're willing to offer the exact same deal to PlayStation, but PlayStation wants more, and Microsoft doesn't want to give them more.
Oh, yeah, well.
So, I mean, that's pretty much where they're at. It's already, you know, the deal's already been approved in South America. That's done. They're pending approval in the EU. They just have to go through a few more hurdles and then pretty much be approved there. And then we just have to go through the FCC or whatever it is?
SEC?
SEC, yeah.
Right. So, like, yeah. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see where this goes down the road. But, you know, they're bringing it to GeForce now. So now you have more options on the PC and Mac to play it. They're going to probably bring, like, I'm going to guess it's going to be Warzone on smartphones.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's definitely a good thing for the consumer and for people in video games. Like, it's good for the game right now, the gaming community in general, that this deal happened.
Yeah.
Right. And now, so lastly, speaking of Activision, we're going to go with another Activision Blizzard type game, because I guess that's all that was in the news this week, is Diablo 4 beta is starting on March 17th through the 19th for early access. And the regular open beta for everyone is March 24th through the 26th. Also, the official release date is June 6th. And yeah, this is a game that I have been waiting to. I love Diablo.
I'm hoping this game is better than 3. Not saying that 3 isn't a bad game. I have a decent amount of playtime in 3. I just felt it was a little more... It wasn't as dark and gritty as the first two games.
You got to take the playing style of 2 and the story like of 2, but put it in with the gameplay of 3. The gameplay of 3 was spot on.
Yeah, no, that was good. And I did like some of the liberties and stuff they took that gameplay wise that way.
Yeah, and the way they transitioned it to a controller is unbelievable. You know, yeah,
mainly how I played.
It makes me wonder with, like, you know, with the back paddles, if you could somehow get WoW on a console. Yeah, it might happen.
That's a lot more buttons.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
That's a lot more buttons, because I mean, you figure a full rotation for any good character, they're using 6-8 buttons.
Yeah,
not counting hotkeys and keybinds.
That's true, but we'll see. But, you know, but Diablo 4 is something I'm really looking forward to. Everything I've seen that's been leaked or talked about, it makes me excited for this game.
Yeah, basically from what I've heard is it's like, it's more like 2 as far as like looks and stuff like that. Gameplay, it seems to be more like 3, but darker.
Okay.
And apparently there's like verticality to the game, like you can jump up and down cliffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's more like a 3D instead of just a flat 2D surface.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, it was going to get to the point where they were going to do that. You can't keep it 2D forever. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I've heard promising things about it. Hopefully they pay off.
Yeah, you know, the open beta starts in a month. So everyone, you know, who's into this, you can get it. So I guess we got to sign up for it.
What's that?
The beta. You got to sign up for it, or is it just like... I know it's open, usually it's sometimes they ask you to sign up.
The early access is if you buy the game.
Oh, okay.
The early from what I understand is like if you pre-order the game and have it by the day that the open beta starts, you can get the early access. For everyone else, it's the week after.
All right. That's good to know. All right. So now we go into our gaming history segment.
Oh, my Nuggets God. Of knowledge.
So we'll start off with the February 22nd. And on February 22nd, 11 years ago, which would be 2012 for those who are trying to do the math in their head, the PlayStation Vita was released in North America and Europe. Now, if anyone who doesn't know what the PlayStation Vita is, I don't know if you lived under a rock over the last 10 years. It's basically a handheld system console developed and marketed by Sony. And it's the sequel to the PSP, the PlayStation. And it was part of their brand of gaming devices in between the PS2 and the PS3. PS3, PS4, sorry. As their 8th generation. And it was basically made to compete with the 3DS. Like, it was their version of their 3DS to compete with Nintendo's handheld market, because I mean, no one else really had anything in the handheld market but Nintendo. A lot of people consider the PlayStation Vita to be the greatest handheld console ever, but not because of the console itself, but just because of the library of games that comes with it. A lot of RPGs are on the Vita, and a lot of JRPGs, so that's like a very big fan base, obviously. And I used to have one. I played it for a little bit. I liked some of the games on it, but I'm more of a Nintendo handheld guy. So I kind of just gave up on it. And plus, the library is not as extensive as Nintendo's. So, but that was 11 years ago. It's crazy.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, I've never owned one, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, no, it's and then you have the ability to like, they gave you the ability to like link it to your TV using like the link through your PlayStation or something. Like you could play it on the TV.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it did that.
Yeah. So like, there's a lot of like little things that they did. I don't think it was the success that PlayStation was hoping for. And I think, you know, they kind of gave up on it a little early, whereas like Nintendo just backed that 3DS and they just like, we're going to come out a new 3DS and then we're going to come out a 2DS and then we're going to come out a new 2DS and we're going to just keep riding this thing to the sunset.
Because
the 3DS is the third highest selling console of all time.
My mom had a DS, I believe.
Yeah, the second highest. So also this week on Beautiful Gaming History, the original Silent Hill was released 24 years ago in 1999.
One of the greatest horror games ever made.
Yep. Survival horror genre published by Konami on the PlayStation 1. And boy, man, did that set up itself for Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 3 and Silent Hill 4 and PT. You know,
and two movies.
I mean, they milked this friggin' IP for as much as they could.
Silent Hill 2 remastered.
The remake's supposed to be coming out sometime in the future. They haven't announced anything, but I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be amazing.
It's in the works, but they haven't released a date yet.
You know, if it's anything like all these new remakes we're getting, like between the Resident Evils and the Last of Us remake and all these other ones, it's going to be, oh man, it's going to be a hot selling item.
I couldn't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
For it's how big of a game for Konami it was, that you know they're going to throw everything at it.
Yeah, the Silent Hill was like, right, Resident Evil put the survival horror like genre kind of like in the forefront, and then Silent Hill kind of put it on the map. Am I right with that?
Basically, Resident Evil for the first, like I would say, their first two games, they basically redefined that genre.
Okay.
And made it to what it is today. Then they had a couple of stinkers.
Well, yeah.
And that's where Silent Hill kind of took over.
Well, Silent Hill was also more of... It had its jump scares. It had its, you know, moments. But it was more of a psychological horror game as opposed to that, like, fear horror movie type horror.
Yeah. I mean... Plus, you had like the puzzles and all this other crazy stuff that it made you do.
Yeah, that's true too. Like it was a different. They just did a different take on the survival horror, and it took off. And then, you know, obviously, like just like every kind of IP, once you kind of get past the second or third one, it kind of just starts to die off because you can only do so much before things get boring and stupid.
Silent Hill was also one of the first games where you would have the, depending on what you did in the game, you'd have different endings.
Yeah, different endings. Yeah. I think I read I think maybe up to 8 different endings in the first one, which for that time is like unheard of. You know, I mean, you're talking about the PlayStation 1. So, I mean, you know, where your RPGs on that kind of console were like Final Fantasy 8 and 9. Oh,
100%. But, you know, that game for what it did at the time was pretty ahead of its time.
Yeah, no, definitely, right? So lastly, this week on gaming history, on February 24th, I didn't even know this thing existed, but the Nintendo Fun Club's first issue was released in 1987, 36 years ago.
Sounds fun.
Now, basically what the Nintendo Fun Club was it was marketed by Nintendo, and it was free to join, and its members received a free subscription to a Nintendo Fun Club news, like, periodical that discussed popular games, games that were planned for the future and also offer tips and tricks and video game news and comics. So it was kind of like a, like I guess the first like video game magazine.
Okay.
And it was free. You signed up and it was free, which is awesome, which is pretty cool. And they released 7 issues and had 600,000 subscribers. And they had 100 telephone gameplay counselors. So basically they had like a number you could call up. And before the Nintendo hotline existed, you could call up for free and people would help you, give you tips and tricks on how to beat certain games or how to get past certain things if you were stuck, which I thought was really cool to have that for free. But unfortunately, like everything, Nintendo wanted to further streamline and expand the resources and non-revenue generating market outreach. So the Nintendo Fun Club News was discontinued in favor of the Nintendo Power magazine.
Yes, which I just looked it up and it came out in 88.
Yep, which came out in August of 1988. And the first issue to Nintendo Power was free to anyone who was in the Fun Club, but then you had to pay for a subscription to receive the rest of them. Which, of course, when it comes down to it, it's because it's about making money.
Of course. Gotta have that.
But I didn't know this thing, the Fun Club, existed, probably because when it released, I was 3 years old. So
that could be a reason why.
And it lasted only 1 year, rough. Yeah, right. Yeah, 1 year. So
I can't even say I've seen an issue of it or anything.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I had copies of Nintendo Power.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, so, you know, the Nintendo Fun Club. You know, I'm sure there's some memorabilia out there you could buy on eBay. Knowing the market absolutely. Now is going to be like thousands of dollars for like a sticker, you know, so. But
well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool information.
Yeah, that was really interesting. The Fun Club. So now that we're done with gaming history.
Yeah. What games you play this week?
Me? I didn't have a lot of time to really play because I have an 18-month-old that's teething and it has an ear infection. And then when she wasn't crying and she slept through the night, the little guy, he's 6. He threw up all over his bed in the middle of the night. So that was a fun one. So I basically played a little bit more Saints Row. I'm determined to actually beat the story in this game. I'm having fun doing that. So I'm going to, I don't know where all the hate's coming from. I mean, I guess it's because it's not like the other Saints Row games and these people are like, you know, traditionalists.
You know where the hate came from? Because if people aren't complaining, they aren't happy.
That's true. But it's so good. It's so much complaints going on that you can actually buy it used on Gamefly for under $20.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
And on the PS5, it's under $15.
Wow. Even better deal.
And I would recommend that for that price. You can't beat it. Oh,
it's a good game. It's a fun game for what it is. And, you know, if you're into those open world kind of games, you know, give it a try. You might like it.
Yeah, definitely. I also played some VR mini golf. I forget the name of the actual mini golf game I have on my MetaQuest. All I know is that it immerses me in this mini golf. And like I find myself like 25 feet away from where I started playing mini golf in the basement. I just like walk aimlessly around. Thank God there's a boundary. Like I drew a boundary because I'd be like bumping into shit. But what I like about...
Oh, so this is the VR, so you have the headset on.
I have the headset on, yeah, so I can't see anything.
Oh, God.
So I'm, like, walking around aimlessly, right? And what's cool about this one, and I really wish... I'm going to get the title of the game while we're talking, is every hole you play, there's a golf ball hidden somewhere.
Okay.
That if you can find it, you can hit the trigger to pick it up, and then you can use that golf ball to play around a golf. Like, you could in the beginning, you could pick from that color. The color scheme.
So it gives you like different cosmetic balls.
Yeah.
Or is there like different statistics with
no,
each
no,
ball?
No statistics.
Just cosmetic.
And I find myself like really trying to find these balls. Like I'm like I go around the rocks and VR has come a long friggin' way. Like I mean like a long way to where it feels like I'm really playing mini golf. It's really crazy. Like, hold on.
What'd you do today, Wills? Oh, I'm searching for my balls.
It's walkabout mini golf, right? I highly rate it. If you have a MetaQuest 2, walkabout mini golf. If you're into mini golf, it's crazy. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds fun.
So like so far, like in the first course, I have all but one hidden golf ball found.
Oh, there's multiple in each course.
Oh, every hole has one. So there's 18 on each course. So,
what do you just walk around the hole?
Well, yeah, you kind of like you walk around, you can look. It you kind of move the camera, like you use the joystick to like move where you want to look, and you hit the button and then it moves you to there, and then you can look to the left, you can look to the right, you can like kind of move around and look around. And it's so crazy. Like if I turn around, I see behind me, it's nuts. It's truly nuts. And I know I sound like a little kid, but
you're having fun. That's all that matters.
Yes. But the problem is I'll sit with that headset on for three friggin' hours looking for golf balls.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what gaming is supposed to be about, is having fun. So.
And like, so I've been playing that, like, you know, I have that. That's what I played this week. I played that a lot, and I play the golf. There's a golf game, like I think it's a Golf Plus. And you get to play on real world golf courses. And that's a lot of fun, too. And again, that is like super kind of realistic. Like you get immersed.
Back in the day, I did get into the Tiger Woods golf games. They were fun.
Yeah, they were fun. You know, I had a PSVR headset. And I have to say that it's come a long way since then. I know the PSVR 2 just came out. But if anyone is interested in getting a headset, I would say, especially if you don't have a PS5, it's not worth it at all. But there's only 5 exclusives for the PS5 VR headset right now. And they're all PlayStation. I'm sure there is too. But if you're looking to just do VR, it's not the route to go because of the price. But yes, that's what I did. I played a lot of VR mini golf and a lot of Saints Row. And obviously what we picked for games of the week, which we'll talk about later. But in the few hours I had this week, those were the two games I chose to play.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, what about you? What did you?
So I played some more Minecraft.
Oh,
had some fun. Had some fun with that.
Which world did you play on?
I was actually.
I know you have multiple worlds.
Well, on my Xbox Live.
Okay.
I have my established worlds and stuff like that. But lately, for very average gaming.
Okay.
Xbox Live.
All right.
I've basically been starting worlds and trying to find a good world to make work.
Okay, so like what entitles like a good world? I've never really played Minecraft, so like I like to pick your brain when you tell me you play the week, because I get to learn some stuff.
Yeah, so when you log into the game, it's all about like when you spawn in, what biome are you in? Like, are there any villages around? Or are there any resources around? You know, is a mine shaft close by, or anything that could be cool? Or is there because ever since they did the Caves and Cliffs update last year,
okay,
they increased the building limit to whatever. Well, I think it's like 300 and something blocks now.
Okay, what was it before? And
it was like, I think it was like 260 something.
All right, so
it's like 350 now, so it's 100 more up.
Okay,
and then it used to go to zero.
Okay,
down. But now it's like, I forget what it, I think it's like negative 80.
Oh,
so like they added all that and they changed the way the terrain generation works. So like now, like I sent you the screenshot where it's like the giant mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, it's all about, you know, trying to find the, you know, good scenery to build in your background and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And just trying to, you know, find good places to build near villages or.
So you look for like, for water and stuff.
Yeah, you definitely want to. I mean, water has its pluses and minuses. I mean, water's good because with the fishing, you get resources from fishing, stuff like that. You can use the rivers and stuff for travel if you make a boat. They just added they finally, after all these years, added the boat that has a chest in it.
Oh, so you can bring stuff with you.
That's a game changer now, because I mean, before it was whatever you could carry in your inventory or ender chest, and that was it.
Yeah.
I also played some Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the new one, of course.
Ah, he finally bought it.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that last week's episode.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, you know, League Play finally came out, or the League Play or whatever. So that finally came out. I'm trying to unlock weapons and stuff like that before I go over and start playing that, just so I have all the attachments and stuff unlocked for when I start playing League Play.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you do. You're doing ranked now. You said you're doing ranked.
Well, I'm not doing the ranked yet. I'm just doing the quick play.
Okay.
And I'm just playing like team deathmatch and hardpoint and domination and stuff.
Is it as like cheap as the other? Like, you know, are there any cheap weapons?
Yeah, I mean, so far the most annoying one is, I forget what the name of it is. It's a full automatic shotgun.
Well, shotguns always seemed to be like the cheapest weapon in the game. I know in World War II, we played a lot of World War II, and like you could just like one shot everybody with that stupid thing. The combat shotgun.
Now imagine that, but semi-automatic and pretty much as fast as you can pull the trigger. with the fire rounds.
That's crazy.
So far, that seems to be the most annoying thing I've come across. Other than that, it really hasn't been that bad. I mean, a couple of the maps are kind of crappy. Like there's this, I don't know the name of the map. I'm not too familiarized with the maps yet, but it's like this big desert map and there really isn't that much cover.
Okay.
So you get sniped from every which direction.
But that's, I guess that's part of the
only thing that I will say that they started adding in the Call of Duties a few years ago is if a sniper is aiming in at you, you get the scope glint. So if one's aiming at you, you're like, oh my God, gotta hide.
it gives you the opportunity to move out of the way.
Yeah, you'll see the glimmer of the scope. So yeah. It's like, oh crap, somebody is aiming at me. Must duck.
Yeah, that is a good feature, because I remember like playing the older ones and like you'd have no idea where they were. And then you'd look at the kill shot, the kill cam. And you're like,
I didn't even see that.
It got you.
So what's cool is it does two things. It prevents them from just sitting there scoped in the whole time because everybody's going to know where they're eventually at. And it gives you a chance to not get hit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still good. It pretty much if you're seeing that, they're aimed at you. But it at least gives you the chance to sort of kind of react.
Yeah. Maybe it won't be a headshot. It'll be like a body shot.
Yeah. So they might hit you with a hit marker or whatever. And then, you know, you might be able to duck behind cover fast enough if you have good reaction time. So there's stuff like that. I mean, I like the features like that they added to the game, but.
Hey, well, I could check.
Not too bad. And then there's the one other map that I absolutely hate. It's like a freaking racetrack.
Hmm.
But with the way the spawns are, it's just. Like I've never been shot in playing Call of Duty. Like my awareness is fairly okay. And I've never played a Call of Duty and been shot in the back so many times, specifically off of spawn timing. Cause like you'll spawn and then run and then they'll spawn behind you and just shoot you.
Oh,
or they'll spawn, or they'll spawn near where you spawned. And then they'll come around the corner and see you running forward. Yeah. So it's like on some of the bigger maps, it's not as big a deal, but on some of the, like the tighter maps, it's kind of a pain. Like the one map Farm 18, it's like a constant with the way the spawns work. Cause you spawn on your teammate. So like, if you die, you spawn near a teammate that's wherever on the map. And it's kind of like a giant rotating around the outside of the map. You just kind of, but it's like you and the enemy team follow each other's spawns. It's kind of annoying. So it's like you're chasing the team around the map.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does sound annoying.
Whereas the way the spawns used to be is they spawned on one side of the map, you spawned on the other side of the map. And in order to flip the spawn to the other side of the map, you basically had to pressure their spawn where they were spawning to the point where the game had to have physically spawn them to the other side because it was the next safest place to spawn them. Whereas this, you spawn on your teammates and you could literally spawn anywhere.
I don't like that.
The pros know how to like manipulate the spawn so people spawn in certain areas and stuff. I'm not a pro.
No, you know.
So plus I'm not playing with organized teams.
Yeah, that's
so
true too.
That does not help. But yeah. Also, I did play some Diablo 2 Resurrected. I played a little more of that. I've always been a fan of that game. So
it's one of the greatest games ever.
And then I played my little mobile game, my PBA bowling mobile game.
PBA bowling, huh?
Yeah.
No, I got to get a bowling game on the VR, I think.
Stick to Wii Bowling. You're better at that.
Yeah, right? So.
All right, moving on up.
Yep, moving on to the games of the week. So this past week, you played a game called Citizen Sleeper. So let's talk about tell us a little bit about your experiences with this game.
It's basically like a turn-based RPG. So you go into the game and you start in your room or whatever it is. And then eventually you can branch out to the map to different little nodes. And each one's like a workplace, or like you go to like the hospital to heal your character, or you can go to the cafeteria and buy food, stuff like that. But each place that you go to, when you go into the said place, you'll have your dice at the top, and then it'll give you like choices. So like you could do this choice and it says safe. There's no negative consequences. You know, you can roll the dice and you'll, or you can do the other one, which it'll say danger or caution or stuff like that. And then, you know, you can roll on those, but you have more of a chance of a negative thing happening to you. So like you can lose credits or you can resources or whatever. So you basically get a few dice a day. So once you spend all your dice, you have to go back to your room and then sleep. So right when you start the game, you only have 3 dice. You can go to one room and do 3 rolls and it's like, okay, well, I got to go sleep again. But for the most part, I mean, if that's your kind of game, you'll like it. But pretty much, you know, you're given a handful of dice. You can have up to 5.
Okay.
And basically, you must constantly work in order to heal yourself, take care of yourself, because you have a robot body and it degrades over time. Like you have a health bar and an energy bar kind of deal. Hmm. It does have a story. There's no voice acting. And so basically you just, you know, read along as you go. And it gives you like choices here and there to make a choice.
So it's like, I guess it's like a tabletop RPG type kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
like when you used really. To play Dungeons and Dragons and like the guy would read, like the Dungeon Master would sit there and go, oh, you know, you come across this locked chest. Do you want open it by picking the lock, smashing it, or what? And like, depending on what you choose, it has a different outcome based on your dice roll.
Exactly. I would say this is probably just the video game version of that.
Oh, okay. So that means, I guess, so if you're a D&D player, you probably will like this a lot. You know, it's pretty cool. So I'm going to assume from the way you talked about this that you're done with this game. You're not going back.
Yeah, I'm not going back to it. Mainly because of the whole, like, you only get like 3 dice a day kind of thing. Like, it made the game really slow unnecessarily. Okay. Other than that, I thought it was kind of neat. I like the art style of the game. The music was kind of neat.
All right. So cool, yeah. Cool concept, just not for you. Not fast paced. You're a fast paced gamer kind of guy. You play Call of Duty, other than Minecraft. It's Call of Duty, Borderlands, that like constant action.
I mean, then I get into survival horror games, and those aren't always fast.
No, but it's action. The suspense makes it fast. Like you're like always, you always have to keep your eye out. Like you're constantly looking at shit.
Where'd he go? Oh. Where's he at? I don't see him.
Beep.
He's gonna get me.
Right. My game of the week was Chained Echoes. Now, in the time that I played this, I only got a handful of hours in, like 3. I usually try to put 5. I only was able to get 3, squeeze 3 in here. If you're into
it was a mini dabble.
Yes, but if you're into JRPGs like I am, this is a must play. 100% a must play. It's like playing Chrono Trigger. But with way better writing, because back then they didn't really have good writing. It just didn't exist. And the battle system kind of plays like Final Fantasy X. So it's a really cool battle system for a 16-bit JRPG.
Okay.
The music is great. It's so like, you know, I'm not humming the songs. I haven't heard them enough, but they're like, they're good. The art and aesthetic is amazing. It's a very great throwback to the 16-bit era of the JRPG, your Chrono Triggers, your Final Fantasy VIs, your Secret of Manas. That's like the heart of RPGs. Like, you know, back then that was like, yeah, you can't go wrong with the Super Nintendo art. But this is definitely a game that I will be playing. And I will, in my dabbling, it'll make the rotation of the 50 games I dabble. How much I get to it every week is probably going to be small, but, you know, as long as I can maintain enough time per week to keep the story kind of fresh in my mind so I'm not, like, lost, I will continue to play this to the end just to see what the story finishes, like, just to see how it finishes, because the writing is amazing. Yeah. The characters are cool. Like, they you start to feel for the characters, like, you start to develop, like, in your head, like, your relationships with them, which is what makes the great RPGs, like, stand out from the not-so-great RPGs. Is the character building. but it's very highly rated on Steam and on Xbox, and like I like 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, like these, like these people are like rating it really high.
Yeah.
So it is definitely a game that I would definitely recommend to anybody who is into that kind of RPG.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's and
that's what's great about doing this game of the week is we find some really good gems.
Yeah. Well, it helps because, like, you know, we've been scouring Game Pass. I might stretch out and start looking on, like, some indie Steam titles just so I can branch out to PC. Some of them will be available on the Xbox, too, but give the PC some love to people who don't have an Xbox or a Game Pass. But we've been using the Game Pass just because, one, we have the subscription, might as well use it. And, two, because they offer so much. And there's so many different genres.
There's a big library.
There really is, you know, and I'm speaking of that very large library that's available. What is your game of the week coming up this week?
My game of the week, speaking of JRPGs, my game of the week this week is called Edge of Eternity.
Okay.
Basically, the description is as follows. Wage an epic turn-based battle as you follow Durian and Saline on their quest to find a cure for the all-consuming corrosion in this grand a tale of sacrifice. Players control Darien, the young soldier whose world has been invaded by a technologically advanced race. He learns his mother has been infected by an alien biological agent, abandons his post to help his sister find a cure. The gameplay is of a tactical role-playing style game. Features active time battles with hex grids and time turn-based combat. There's an open world to explore that has some sci-fi and fantasy elements.
That's cool. So I think it's gonna be like a Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it says with hex grids.
Yeah.
All right. It sounds like it'll be interesting.
I can see myself having fun with this game.
Yeah, I like the tactical role playing games. Like I'm a very I got into tactical role playing with Final Fantasy Tactics, which I hope they remake for the Switch. Because that would be, like, my dream game. Right?
One can hope.
Yeah, right? So
That's one of the most underrated Final Fantasy games ever to come out.
And I hope you have a good time with this, because then it'll kind of, like, let me know whether or not I should try to give it a try. Like, I'm waiting for Fire Emblem Engage, which is the newest one on the Switch, to go on sale. Because I really want to get into that.
From what I read on the wiki, it kind of does make me feel a little excited to play this.
Okay, that's good to know.
Because supposedly what they're saying is it does have a pretty decent story.
Well, that's the whole thing. If it doesn't have a good story, because in these types of games, it's all grinding.
Well, that's the whole thing, is a good JRPG needs to have a good story.
You know, because the grinding only makes sense if the story is worth continuing. You know, unfortunately, but... You know, that is what it is. So my new game of the week is called Kill It With Fire. It sounded good. And basically what it is the spider, mankind's most ancient and deadly nemesis. As a licensed Kill It With Fire exterminator, it's time to fight back. Assemble your arsenal of increasingly excessive weapons, track spiders across suburbia, and burn everything in your path. To defeat spiders, you must exploit their one weakness, fire, or bullets, or explosions, throwing stars, getting smushed by stuff, pretty much anything really. But that doesn't mean it'll be easy. First, you've got to find the spiders. Use state-of-the-art arachnid tracking technology to pinpoint your quarry's location among hundreds of potential hiding spots. Then, torch everything and smash the spider with a frying pan after it runs out. It's the only way to be sure. So
now I'm not going to lie. I did graze over this a couple times while I was looking for my games of the week. And it's kind of funny that you beat me to it.
This looks like it's just going to be like a fun game. Like it's probably going to be really stupid, but I think it's going to be one of those games where like after a long day of work that you could just sit down and play and have fun with.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is it just sounds like the ridiculousness of the game is what makes it sound like it's going to be fun.
You know, it's kind of like when I would play like at parking, and you still get parking is pretty much a really bad like driving game where you got to get the car into a parking spot. Mm-hmm. But it was so bad and so fun that like I would sit there after work after having a rough day. It's just like a mind dump. Like, you don't have to like think, you just play. Yeah. And that's what I think this is going to be. So that is why I'm really looking forward to giving this a try. Plus, as you know, everyone in my house like really hates spiders. So it'll be...
We can thank one person for all that.
Right. So I think...
She passed it on to the kids.
So maybe it'll just teach me new ways to kill them when they start screaming in the house. Get a blowtorch out.
I can see it now. Bill, where are you going with that fry pan?
Yeah, right? So I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll report back next week. Hopefully I have a lot more... I have a little more time to play this week, but...
Judging from this week, I think this is going to be, as far as games of the week, I think this is going to be one of our better weeks.
Yeah, I agree, you know.
Because we have what looks to be a really good JRPG and what looks to be a really fun, as you said, mind dump.
Yeah, I call it mind dump, where it's like there's no thought behind it. It's kind of like, you know, like Lawn Mowing Simulator, which I don't know if you ever played Lawn Mowing Simulator.
I could see myself playing that for hours, that or Power Wash Simulator.
Power Wash Simulator was good, but Lawn Mowing Simulator is so much better because it's like, I don't know what it is. I find myself watching those YouTube videos of people mowing lawns.
As someone who actually enjoys mowing lawns, I can see myself having fun with the version of it where I don't have to have it go outside and walk around. So
I got
worry about getting hit by grass clippings.
I was actually told at work this past week in a very nasty way to stop walking across someone's lawn.
Oh, get off my damn lawn!
And his neighbor was like, I don't understand it.
Work told you?
No, the guy at the house. So like, his neighbor was like, I came out and he was telling me, he's like, I don't know why he's making such a big deal. It's like his yard is full of weeds anyway. It's not really grass. And he's like, I can see the path that you guys make by walking. And I looked and I said, yeah, but that's because it hasn't been mowed since like October. So it's so tall. No, anywhere I walk is going to be knocked down because it's so tall.
Well, not only that, but the grass is dormant right now. So
yeah,
wherever you step, it's going to turn dark anyway. It'll bounce back in the spring. It'll be fine.
I know that.
You know that. Apparently this person complaining doesn't.
Maybe I'll just kill it with fire.
you keep walking that path and he'll have to freaking deal with it.
Right. So now that the games of the week have been discussed, there's only one real big release coming out this week, and it's a really, really big release coming out this week on Tuesday, February 28th, Destiny 2 Lightfall, which anyone who's into Destiny 2, I'm sure, is really looking forward to. I don't have the wherewithal to start Destiny 2, because as much fun as it looks, I know it's very easy to get lost in Destiny 2, and I don't have anyone that plays it in my Rolodex.
You'll be raging quick.
Yeah. So it's not for me, but if you're into Destiny 2, it comes out this week, and I'm sure everyone will have fun. And with that, that is it. So please like and subscribe to the podcast and the YouTube channel. Tell anyone you know. You know, help us get more subscribers. Help us get more people in watching. Like, subscribe. Visit our website at veryaveragegaming.com. Has all the links to the social media on there, from Discord to Twitter. We're going to be starting an Instagram. You can catch some of our clips and videos on there. Expect more content on the YouTube channel. And with that, just like you, we're average too.